You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Now, most of us probably weren't climate activists at 16 years old. We also probably weren't capable of suing the US government at this age either. But I recently spoke to someone who is both these things. His name is Shuteskat Martinez, and he's coming to New Zealand next February to give a talk about his experiences as a climate activist and also about how he communicates his activism through hip-hop. As of February this year, he's been a plaintiff in a lawsuit against the Obama administration. So I started by asking him to tell me a little bit more about this.
We are filing a lawsuit against the federal government for, we have filed this lawsuit against the federal government, I should say, for violating our constitutional right to life, liberty, and property because of their inaction on climate change, because of the fact that our government has known about climate change for the last several decades and failed to respond adequately and continue to support the industries that have created it. We are seeing that our governments are failing to do their job to protect the American people from the impacts of climate change, and they have a responsibility to do better than they're doing.
And so what do you hope the outcome of the lawsuit will be?
So we've had incredible success already in that the U.S. government and the fossil fuel industry has attempted to dismiss this lawsuit in court, but their motion to dismiss has been denied by two different judges now. So now we actually have garnered the right to take this to trial. And that is going to be happening sometime mid-2017. All of the findings are going to begin to be turned in, and we're very excited about the progress of the lawsuit. We hope that if we win, the court system will be forcing the U.S. government to reduce our national greenhouse gas emissions by a certain amount every year until we can reach a safe level of carbon dioxide and greenhouse gases in the atmosphere as the planet. So that'll mean a massive transition off of fossil fuel energy onto renewable energy. Just an entire shift in the way that this country runs.
So you also lead a movement called Earth Guardians. Can you tell me about what this is?
Yeah, I'm a youth director of an organization called Earth Guardians. And as you were very right when you said that it is a movement, less of an organization, it is a movement. And what it is working to do is to inspire a generation of young leaders all over the world to give this generation the tools, resources, connections, the platform that they need to create change so any young person in the world has the ability to make a difference and in their communities to be leaders in their communities. And a lot of this is directly surrounded to creating solutions, but more particularly through empowering young people to use their voice and to use their passion. Whether you're passionate about journalism, about photography, music, hip hop, producing, you know, these are all different ways that we can use our talents to create change in the world. And we've seen it. We have, you know, tens of thousands of individuals engaged all over the planet, and the movement is just continuing to grow. We have members in Australia, New Zealand, Brazil, across Latin America, across Europe and Asia. It's just continuing to grow because more people want to be a part of creating positive change in the world. We're very excited.
Yeah, it sounds really awesome. And then so I guess part of this as well is that you're a really passionate environmental activist, but you also combine this activism with hip-hop. I guess I feel like hip-hop has always been such a powerful vehicle for political messages, but telling stories of environmental activism through this medium is quite unique. How have people responded to the messages you express through your music?
I think that the music is a different way to tell a very important story where using art and using hip-hop in particular engages a whole other audience of people that wouldn't necessarily otherwise be interested in climate change or in the environment. It's a very important tool for myself as an activist also to stay level-headed, to be able to write about the crisis and the problems that are happening in the world. You know, it's very heavy work that I do, and to be able to release through music is very important for me. So I think hip-hop is one of my most one of my greatest passions and one of the most powerful tools to creating change that I've seen actually work and inspire people, bring people to tears, make people excited, make people dance. Like that's just a very unique experience.
And so do you feel like it resonates with young people in particular, that this sort of medium is perhaps more appropriate way of communicating these really important things rather than, kind of more dry political debate or whatever? What do you think about that?
Yeah, this definitely captures the attention of younger audiences, of young people that are and maybe a little bit interested in the movement but don't really, you know, care a whole lot about it. I feel like it's definitely has been a turning point for a lot of young people that I've seen that have wanted to get involved. Once they realize that, oh, taking action on climate change isn't just about activism or environmentalism or caring about the environment. It can be using your talents and your passion, like hip hop. Just an example.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and also because I feel like there's like this global rhetoric that exists that suggests although young people are aware and care about things like climate change, that they are still nevertheless seen as somewhat apathetic when it comes to political activism and engaging in democratic processes, you know, such as voting. In relation to your experience as an activist, what do you make of this? Do you feel like young people are, you know, are apathetic when it comes to political engagement?
For sure. I feel like a lot of young people are apathetic, disconnected, and hopeless, largely because our media is portraying so much of the crisis without talking about solutions, without talking about solutions that young people can engage in, without giving young people's voices a platform or a place to be able to participate or have their voices or their opinions heard. I feel like once we are able to kind of change the dynamic of political and environmental settings, then we have a greater ability to change the engagement of young people, to get them more interested, to get them passionate. When we can change the narrative in the way that we're telling these stories, it also makes a difference. When we can communicate through film, through art, through music, these different platforms where young people are more able to engage, then more young people will be engaged rather than, you know, scientists standing at the top in front of a classroom talking about climate change. We have to find the way to get young people to be compassionate about these issues, to care about these issues and these problems and want to do something about it.
So I guess, yeah, there's that first step, right, that it's getting more young people involved in the way of becoming aware. But then what do you see as the next step of actually, what's that action? What do you see young people as being able to do in terms of actual tangible action?
One of the things that I've always said is my role is never to tell you what to do. And it's never going to be to give you a formula for how to save the planet or a formula for how to, you know, be an activist or a leader. I think my job is to tell stories and kind of to share what I've learned. But I think kind of we want to support young people in becoming leaders and creating change without, you know, putting them in another box, because too often that happens in our world and it kills our creativity. It kills our ability to think for ourselves and to make our own decisions. So what I would say to young people that might want to get engaged or that are interested or that are, you know, any young person that's going to be reading or listening to this, this message that I have to share is that, first of all, you know, just start by getting educated about what's happening in your community. You know, get educated, learn about the problems in your community or in your country, in your state. And from there, you can go forth and, you know, find something that you're passionate about, a talent that you have, and then connect with other people in your community. I think one of the first things that young people everywhere have to realize is that their voices have power. Their voices have potential to create change. Unlike any member of any other generation, where our voices are so innocent, we're not politically invested, we're not financially invested in climate change, where it's about our future. So our voices are very innocent, and we have an amazing amount of potential to create change with your voice. So get educated, get inspired about something, and then find your passion, connect with other people in your community. And from there, you can begin to think, imagine, create your own solutions to the world's greatest problems. The greatest thing is you don't have to do it by yourself. You know, we have a whole global platform of people that can help you find your way if you're stuck.
So outside of being able to spread this message of getting, you know, getting more people involved and aware about these issues of climate change and global warming, what are some of the things that you've done, you know, perhaps in your own community that you feel like is making a tangible difference to such problems?
So a lot of the environmental stuff that we've worked on is like getting the coal trains that used to pass through my community regulated and protected from, you know, blowing the coal ash into our water and into our air, getting, you know, the spraying of chemicals in our parks, getting that banned out of our city. You know, we worked to a group of Earth Guardians in my community. We worked to help get bans and moratoriums by speaking up at the city councils and the county commissioner meetings to change local policy to get bans on fracking in five different communities here. We have planted, you know, several, you know, hundreds of trees. And one thing that I've seen kind of internationally is that we have so much power when we work together, where, you know, one community can, you know, plant a garden or, you know, plant some trees or, you know, do a cleanup or, you know, paint a mural on the wall. But, you know, if we look at it at a global scale, like we're building a beautiful world. We're building the world that we want to see. And that's powerful. Right. So even if it seems small in your eyes, I feel like give yourself perspective as to how it's playing a part in is a small piece of a very large puzzle that is the climate movement, that is the youth climate revolution. You know, if you look at what's happening in Standing Rock, North Dakota, that's one of the greatest examples of social change that we've ever seen, that people standing up that we've ever seen. And I'm just excited to see how we're continuing to move forward with all these solutions that we have, the potential to, you know, affect that change that we want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess it's just about realizing how we're all kind of different moving parts of this wider thing rather than just expecting this one sort of blanket solution. So just finally, I was just wondering, in light of the recent outcome of the US election, are you worried for the future of global warming with a climate denier in office?
I think the future of climate change isn't going to be determined by a president, especially the president of the United States. I believe that the action that we're taking on the ground as a grassroots movement, organizing as people in communities all across the country, I think we have greater power than our president does. I do not believe that Donald Trump is going to be able to accomplish or abolish a lot of things that he has promised to. And yeah, it's just, you know, more reason for us to get engaged, involved, and to make change in this country, you know, to stand up to a very destructive, hateful power, to show them that people power is more powerful than, you know, a president in office. And it always has been that way, and I believe the same for this president as well.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.